Our guest today is the Acting Secretary of the Illinois Department of Innovation and Technology. Do it. He is leading a statewide digital transformation in support of Governor Rauner's vision for a more efficient, accessible, competitive, and compassionate Illinois. Our guest today served as the state's first Chief Information Security Officer, led the development and execution of a statewide transformative cybersecurity strategy. Number three, began his career as a police officer, serving in uniform, investigative, and undercover roles, and ultimately, number four, specializing in criminal intelligence, focusing on organized criminal groups and terrorism. He lives in Springfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Kirk Lonbaum. Kirk?
Thank you, everybody. Good afternoon. We've asked Jackie to collect the questions. I've asked her to really just tear up the really hard ones. So we'll go from there. First, I want to thank the City Club for giving us the opportunity to speak today. Did a little research on the City Club. Since 1903, I've been bringing the most important topics forward to Chicago and the state and business leaders. So my great gratitude for that. On this Thanksgiving, I'm very grateful for that. Thank you. Also want to thank Governor Rauner for his leadership, support, passion for digital transformation in the state. I can tell you the last 2 years as the Chief Information Security Officer, we had incredible support from the governor's office. We're going to talk a little bit about cybersecurity today as well. But more so, I want to thank him for his confidence in me to give me the opportunity to help lead this transformation. I've been in public service for 37 years, and as you mentioned, I've gone from being a police officer to, and it's a crazy story. How in the hell did you get here from there? One of these days, maybe I'll share that story. But the governor is looking for a very much a more efficient, accessible, competitive, and compassionate Illinois. So I want to warn you, we're going to have a little bit of audience participation. We're going to ask you all to stand up and say something about yourself that nobody knows. But let's talk about digital transformation and what that really means. So the first thing that comes to mind often is information or technology, very technology-focused. Certainly, technology is at the core. But really, we're really talking about improving business, improving services to our customers, and ultimately improving security as well. So reducing costs, promoting the overall digital economy, which I'm going to talk a little bit here in the next slide, ensuring cybersecurity, but for us, it's about establishing seamless and better ways to serve our customers who are the citizens of the state of Illinois. I would ask you all to raise your hand if you're a citizen of the state of Illinois, but I think that's all of you. So, and if you're not, tough. So, but really, we are here to serve you. I found it interesting that last week, Inc. magazine had an article where they talked about the Midwest is thriving as an alternative to Silicon Valley. Chicago and Illinois is becoming a huge boon for med tech advancement. I've got a couple slides here, 10 Chicago tech companies to watch. There's companies who are promoting innovation, helping startups, but not just in the city, outside of the city. And even in Illinois, I thought this was an interesting component that where we rank in terms of leadership of technology companies that have been established by immigrants. So certainly we have a diverse, growing capability and an opportunity that we really should try to exploit. And as it comes down to money, those of you in the business side who are thinking about startups, which we hope are smart, the estimated burn rate for a new startup in Chicago is estimated to be 50% less than in Silicon Valley. So I think that's pretty compelling. And as we look to bring business into Illinois, those of you who are investors or who know folks who are looking to invest in digital startups, I think that's a really key point. So collectively, we have a real opportunity, I think, to work together to not establish the Midwest and Chicago as an alternative to Silicon Valley, but the primary. So I've heard it said that every company must be a technology company. Last time I heard that, I was watching a video from Deloitte regarding our CIO program. And the comment was, every company must be a technology company. I think that's true. We're talking about user experience and our customers here in a few minutes, but we also believe that every state agency must also be a technology agency. So when you think about what we're trying to do with transformation in Illinois, bringing siloed organizations together toward a common goal, we have to make sure that we're turning our agencies into digital agencies. So digital transformation is really for all of us. And I think only through a holistic approach can we really address what we need to do, which is to bring Illinois in the forefront of digital technology. So what I hope you'll come out with today as we talk about what digital transformation is not just what it means for the state, what it means for your company, for your business, for your nonprofit, for your organization, because we think this applies across the board. The governor's vision wasn't just to bring a digital improvement to state government. It's about increasing the digital economy in the state, and you guys are the leaders that can help get us there. So as we start to frame what digital transformation is, IDC, those of you may be familiar with IDC, the International Data Corporation, sort of a think tank kind of place, has been following our digital transformation, working with my predecessor, Hardik Bhatt, and others, to take a look at what Illinois is doing and how are we putting Illinois in the forefront of becoming the first smart state, and how we're starting to lead things like the exploration of blockchain for government and things of that nature. But working with them, we jointly came up with six specific categories of digital transformation: leadership, transformation, experience, information, operations, workforce, ecosystem, which I think will be very key to this group. Many of you are policymakers, have access to policymakers, help actually drive public policy. And underlying all of this must be security. So Jay mentioned that I'd been the chief information security officer for the state for the past 2 years. We've done a lot of work. We have a lot left to go. But in today's threat environment, we're hearing every day of something that's happening. So as a foundation to all of this, we need to make sure we're looking into security. But security not to stop business, to facilitate business and enable business. So one of the things that the governor supported and personally released in a press release earlier this year was the release of our first cybersecurity strategy for the state. I think this is all online. And one thing I want to talk about our organization, we are always working toward transparency. So those of you who have not gone to the doit.illinois.gov website, please do. Take the time. There's tremendous amount of information of what we're doing in the state. The cybersecurity strategy, you can get there very quickly, front page, click the button, boom, you're there. And I think you'll find that it's a very comprehensive strategy. So the governor did appoint the first chief information security officer. I had the honor of filling that role. In the past 2 years, we've literally secured billions of records of private information, which were formerly not at the secure manner that they should have been. We've established our first state security operations center. So those of you familiar with security, it's all about continual monitoring, making sure you know what's going on in your network, what your users are doing. We didn't have one of those. And so we've established that. It's up and working, and we're reducing risk to the state each and every day through that. Also established risk and resiliency programs to help reduce risks and the impacts of cyber attacks. And security, if there's one thing to remember about security, it's about reducing risk to a manageable level. And for your businesses, you have to make that decision. What type of risk are you willing to take? As we try to be more innovative, that becomes more and more challenging to find that balance. So let's talk about leadership transformation. First, we have to have the leadership that has the vision for digital transformation. So for us, it's how we bring better value and services to our citizens. But I'd ask you to just think for a second. In your business, what is the vision of digital transformation for your business, and what are you trying to accomplish with that? We want to bring optimal value to our customers And Governor Rauner has driven that vision. My predecessor, Hardik Bhatt, was a clear champion of innovation and transformation. Those of you who had the opportunity to hear Hardik speak here, the last he spoke here twice. Incredible leader. We're trying to brown nose him into bringing Amazon to Chicago, of course. We don't know if he's got any juice on that or not. But he's been a champion for digital transformation. So my first question to you, and this is just, you don't have to answer. Those are going to be some questions you're going to have to answer later pretty soon. Is who's driving digital transformation for you and your business? A lot of my friends here, I see a lot of my people I work with are in tech companies, right? But think about what you're doing inside your organization to drive your own digital transformation. Certainly your business is to help others drive transformation, but take a step back and ask yourself within your own organizations, so it's nonprofit, government, private sector, what are you doing and who is leading that? Is it you? Are you the boss? Is it your boss's boss? It's clear that we have leadership at the top. We have to have that. We have that with Governor Rauner and the support from the governor's office. And we're spreading that across to all of our agency directors and business leaders. And we'll chat about that here in a second. One of the things that we've asked our folks within our organization is to lead from where you are. You don't have to be in a big title or a big position to be a leader in transformative activities. You don't have to have a fancy title to lead in innovation. As a matter of fact, innovation really comes from the edge. So I'm going to chat about that here in a second. So if you look around at each other, when we talk about how we transform Illinois, the digital transformation of Illinois, all of you are leaders in that and can lead from where you are. During my first 30 or 45 days, I spent significant time calling directors and secretaries of agencies, and I asked them, when I say the word do it, what connotations come to mind? I got some mixed things. We're in the middle of some might consider it a hostile takeover of agencies' IT, which is certainly not the intent, but I got some really mixed responses, but they were all candid. I got some very positive responses, too. But there was a response that proliferated in most of them, which was, I need you to be a strategic partner with me to help me understand how I can innovate and use technology to serve the citizens and reach my mission. So we're working to do that. One of the things we've done, which I don't think is done much in government, is we've established an advisory board of directors made up of our leadership who help guide the transformation of Do It. We have subcommittees about rates and security and enterprise architecture, but at the top is this group of which Deputy Governor Childress sits on that essentially helps us lead and drive our organization, our transformation, in support of the business. We're not in IT for IT's sake. The governor named us the Department of Innovation and Technology for a reason. We're here to help innovate and to bring technology to help advance the business of the state. So we're transforming our leadership team at the agency level and turning them into strategic partners. So what I'm showing you here are just a couple clips from, or a couple photos from some meetings. You can see Deputy Governor Childress addressing us, some problem solving up there. The picture up there to the middle left, that's technology leaders and agency directors working together. We had our annual strategy summit where directors and the CIOs came together for a day and we talked about their most pressing issues and how we're being successful. So again, as we talk about leadership, the folks you're seeing up here, the direct BJ Walker from DCFS, Mike Hoffman from CMS, leadership from the Department of Revenue, these are business leaders who are coming forward with using technology, letting us help them advance their business. Again, if you're interested, again, transparency. We have some videos on our website where you can hear about what they're talking about, how we're saving dollars, how we're improving services, how we're protecting our emergency responders, our first responders, if you will, folks like our DCFS workers who are out there. But again, in thinking about innovation at the edge, We're reaching out to our employees to be leaders, to be innovators. We're trying to find more creative ways to communicate with our entire employees. Tyler Clark, our chief of staff, is sitting there. Tyler, you want to wave and get some recognition there. Tyler has put together what we started this week called the Do It Daily. There's not many folks that are doing this, where we have a daily call of all of our leadership, and ultimately every employee of our organization will be able to be on this call and hear and solve problems while we're actually on the phone. So cool this morning. We had this call. We have a chat function on the side. Folks are chatting on the side, solving problems. We had issues brought up yesterday that through email and meetings probably would have taken us 3 weeks to resolve. Boom, solved them overnight. So we're trying to change a culture and also develop our leaders. We have a one-do-it approach. You know, when you bring all these siloed organizations together, there's lots of resistance. So we're working hard for culture change and to really build a one-do-it perspective, because it's all about serving our citizens. This is an area that I really like talking about, and it's experience transformation. So we've all felt these problems standing in line or waiting on hold or all of that. I wish Trey was here to give him so he would hear the acknowledgement, but I'm going to give Trey full props on this. We had a talk a couple of weeks ago, and he shared something with me that a mentor had shared with him some time ago. And I think it really drives home how we need to think, and I mean we collectively, as service providers, business leaders, many people will remember you for what you did, but everyone will remember you for how you made them feel. So think about that in a service connotation. So what is the experience of your customers? Do they feel they are being served? You know, we can immediately think about face-to-face or voice-to-voice customer service. You know, were we polite? Did we solve their problem? How long did they wait on hold? Did they understand us? And most importantly, did we understand them? So I added this slide really just because I thought it was kind of funny. But here's a guy waiting in line to do something, and he's trying to do his own digital transformation by promoting his puzzle game. Certainly that's not the way we think is effective marketing, but I just wanted to include that because reaching out, and we're not going to get to our customers and tell them about our services like this. We've got to find creative ways to reach our customers. So here's going to be the first audience participation, and I'm going to wait until at least five of you answer. So if you ever want to think about getting back to work this afternoon, so somebody better jump in. So in our smart, you know, age group, demographic, all these things, who are our customers? So my question for you is, who is the youngest person that you know, don't you have to say by name, by age, who actively uses a smart device that you know? You got it? Five answers. We got six, five, two, four, two, one. Okay, you've beat me. This is Dylan. Dylan is eight. This kid knows every stat. He can name the numbers of all the Yankees, and he's not even a Yankee fan. I mean, it's incredible. But I think the point here is Dylan is using his smart device. Two things to remember: where he is, when he needs it, and what he needs. Now, in this case, it's ESPN, and he'll ask me questions like, Kirk, did you see that? Da, 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 da. I'm like, no, Dylan, I didn't see that. Tell me about that. So these are our customers, right? Ultimately, our customers. Now, Dylan's not going to apply for services from the state, but it's indicative of our changing environment and how we need to find a way to improve that experience with our customers. So here's the next question. Who's the oldest person you know who actively uses a smart device?
91,
90?
103.
103. Anybody else? So we had one over here, and we had 103 over there. This job is feeling a lot more intimidating right now. I just want to let you know. So this is my mother. My mother is 86 years old. She texts me during Cubs games. She's active on Facebook. That's sort of how we communicate. I still get the why don't you call, right? We're all going to get that. So I wanted to share this one. This was the text that we had during the Dodgers series. My mom is not only indicative of the people that we serve, but clearly you can see she's indicative of the Cub fan who will always say, wait till next year, maybe we'll be back. So how do we find ways to serve 1 to 103 from 16 to 86 to whatever that? So it's got to be all about the mobile experience. We've actually got to move past the mobile experience into what the future is going to hold. But what we've been doing in our Illinois First initiative is one of the initiatives we have is a mobile first. It's called Mobile First. Any new service that's coming up, we're insisting it has a mobile component. We're looking at those services that we provide across the agencies that are ripe for mobile integration. We're grabbing quick wins as we can, but we're going to be doing a lot more. So we've developed, we have a mobile platform that we're implementing, bringing our agencies together, using the expertise across the agencies. We have great leadership coming out of the Illinois Students Assistance Commission, who are really leading our mobile effort across the enterprise. And we're developing mobile apps all the time, in addition to mobile responsive websites, which really have to be there. So you can see some things where historic preservation, the state fair, which was a great win, but actually not just to our public, to our end users. So in the Department of Children and Family Services, we've developed a mobile application that gives caseworkers more instant access to the information they need at that moment when they're at a house trying to decide if they need to remove a child from a dangerous situation. Historically, they'd have to go back to their own organization. They'd have to check 10 or 12 different systems. We're giving them better ability to make public health, life, and safety decisions on the spot. So, again, it's all about mobile. But we've got to get beyond that. How many of you guys have worn one of those virtual reality things? Okay, several of you. Wearables. Who's got a smart watch on right now? So this is how we need to make sure we're delivering communication to our end users and that end user experience. So while we're doing a lot of mobile, we're still trying to lean forward. Government always lags behind. But we're trying to lean forward. So at the first week of December, I think this is our second hackathon, and as a prior security guy, I don't really like that hackathon phrase, but we're having a hackathon where we're bringing folks into Springfield to help us identify what our chat bot capabilities could be. Many other states have done this. Many other cities have done this, where we're really bringing innovators from all ages to come in and say, here's what we're trying to accomplish for the state. Now, here's some parameters. Here's 2 days. Let's see what we get out of it. So I look forward to many of you tracking that progress. Jennifer Schultz, our communications director. Jennifer, will you wave your hand? Also drives a lot of information about our organization through social media. So please link in with us, see what we're doing. And I think we're going to have some cool stuff that's going to come out of the chatbots. So just to follow up a little bit on the mobile experience, so in 2011, 35% of Americans reported that they own some sort of smart device, and that number is now about 80%. I think that's pretty conservative. So let's talk about information transformation. Many of you here are from, and I met several of you, are working a lot on data analytics, driving data-driven decisions. To me, I think this is something that's going to have the most impact on the state. And if I'm going to have a mantra as we move forward, is that we want to make Illinois the finest data-driven government in the country. Information is key to empower our citizens, inform and protect our first responders, drive strategic making, and really improve quality services. So we're doing some of these things. We formed a data practice that is working with different agencies to help them unleash the power of their data. Within specific organizations such as the Health and Human Services area, You know, we're bringing in the ability to drive strategic decisions based on bringing disparate information together, which is really what it's all about. Our open data initiative is extremely exciting, and would encourage all of you to go out and look at our open data portal and make recommendations to us, et cetera. So we want to have a transparent government, but let's think of what opportunity that provides. Again, digital transformation for the state. We put data that we can openly for innovators, researchers, to look at what we have and help us solve these problems. I was very excited that one of the committees we put together is called the Corporate Innovators Group. And we have brought together from many of your organizations, some of you may be here today, the folks who are in your innovation groups who help develop innovative thinking systems, et cetera. It was pretty cool. And I'm going to give the Wrigley Company a plug, not only because I'm a Cubs fan, but the innovator came and she said, before we kick this off, we want to share with you what our latest innovation is. And she passed around caffeinated gum. Very well packaged, et cetera. Kept the meeting going. I liked that. So we're bringing people together. But let's think about the power of our entire state, our citizenry, our innovators, our researchers, to put open data in the hands of all of you to help us solve issues. Now, we've got real social issues that we need to address. Opiate crisis, Medicaid fraud, all of these things, keeping our children safe. And we need to find ways to do that. Now, sharing data is not easy. And you know what the hardest part is getting people to agree. Yeah, I'm going to share my stuff with you. And a lot of folks are like, you're not touching my stuff. So our leadership, and again, business leadership, completed an unprecedented enterprise memorandum of understanding where they recognize that that sharing data is not something they have to do or that they want to do, that it's an imperative to advance what they need to do. So that's a huge step. Just to have everybody agree that we need to move forward in this. So again, leadership, transformation. And in a few more minutes, I think you're going to see how all these things fit together and why they're so important. So I'm just curious, audience participation again. Anyone know, and if any of you have heard me ask this question at a previous event, please don't yell out the answer. Does anyone know how many petabytes of data that the human brain can store? Okay, if you've been at one of my other ones, then you can answer. Three? I've got 2.5 on my paper here, so it's clearly got to be true. So 2.5 to 3 petabytes of data that the human brain can store. So the state is sitting on 5 petabytes of data today. How do we use that data to drive improvement of government, drive the digital economy, solve problems, serve our citizens? Last year is one example in what we did with data in our data practice. We worked with the Illinois Department of Revenue in the use of data analytics, and they saved $19 million in identifying tax fraud, and in 2017 we're on pace to save $31 million. That's true ROI. Our work in health and human services is driving strategic decisions to positively impact the health of our citizens. When I spoke with, many of you know, the director of the Department of Human Services, Jim Demas, a great partner. When I spoke with him on my call, he said, I need you to help me make strategic decisions. I need to use the data to make strategic decisions. So our leadership know where we need to go. Open data portal, putting data in the hands of our innovators all across the state. And we're working toward trying to address the most important issues, opiate crisis, criminal justice reform, reducing the prison population. So it's not about going, well, we'd be better off if we leased PCs, although that's important, right? Because our stuff's got to work. We're a service provider, and we'll talk about operations here in a second. But it's really about using data, innovation, technology to drive data-driven government. And I'd ask you to ask yourself, do you have a data-driven organization? So let's talk about operations transformation. Now, this is what a lot of folks in state government think about when they hear the term infrastructure consolidation, et cetera. Now, that's a very important part of it, but it's not the only part. So when we talk about operations, let's just think about business. How do we transform your business into being more effective? Many of you know, and if you saw Hardik speak or you've heard this before, that the governor really gave us a challenge, which was to bring Illinois out of the digital dark ages by establishing best-in-class innovation and technology to better serve our citizens, optimize the use of taxpayer resources, and help build a digital economy. This really translated in what we've talked about as 45 in 4, meaning we wanted to crawl out of the technical debt that had been developed within the state through a siloed approach for the last 45 years. We have systems that are 45 years old, running technologies that we can't support, and that archaic practices, absence of true cybersecurity. So we're taking those steps to do that. And the way we're doing that is really three ways. First, to improve the business of IT. How do we run IT better? Second, improve the business of state using IT. And I love this phrase, leapfrogging to reclaim ownership. I'm going to show you how we're leapfrogging right here at the end. But what we mean by leapfrog is we don't really have the time. As I talk about, government lags, right? We always lag behind. We don't have the time to move from grade school to high school to undergrad to grad school. We've got to go from grade school to practicing medicine, and we need to do it right now. So as we're working on our infrastructure, our basic operations, increasing services, we need to be doing these forward-leaning things. So first, how did we improve the business of IT? First, Governor Rauner created the Department of Innovation and Technology, so we're bringing the power of 1,400 innovative technologists under one umbrella to help what I think will be a supercharged entity, and he established the secretary as a cabinet-level position. With the executive order, there are many agencies that were directed to come into the transformation, but the positive things, we've got agencies that are getting a hold of us now and saying, how do I get in? We want in. We need your help. So we're doing intergovernmental agreements with them. And I think that's a pretty good direction when you go from when I talked about hostile takeover into we want in. So we're making great progress there. And it's given us the opportunity to not just consolidate infrastructure, but again, bring all this expertise together to our best-in-class operations. We've embraced service improvement and utilized a program in the state called Rapid Results. This is not dissimilar to many lean type of efforts. I can tell you that the Department of Revenue, Director Beard, who we have great relationships with and we've done so much with, has used Rapid Results across her organization to get past that we've always done it that way and have made such process improvements, and we're doing that as well. We're working toward a cloud-first strategy to really exploit what the cloud brings. And I don't want to dive too deeply into the technologies, but that's where things are going. We need to be flexible and more nimble and all of those things you hear, but we need to operationalize that and see how we can do that. Adopting best frameworks, NIST for cybersecurity. Those of you who are cyber folks, you'll know all about NIST. Again, best practices, enterprise architecture, that sort of thing. So our internal operations are so critical. We're going to talk about forward-leaning initiatives here in a second, but our focus on continual improvement of our core capabilities and establishing DO IT as a world-class service organization is our top priority and will remain that. You know, we can go off and do fancy things moving forward, and we have to do that if we're going to leapfrog, but we have to maintain focus on our core services as well. So improving the business of the state using IT, I've mentioned our mobile strategy, data strategy, business processes, we're helping our specific agencies truly improve their business, and we say, there's something we say over and over again, which is everyone needs to embrace the value of enterprise thinking. So I was the deputy CIO of the state police for quite a few years. I was CIO working for James Joseph, who you met a little while ago from the Illinois Emergency Management Agency. I wanted nothing to do with consolidation. I wanted people to leave me alone, let me do my thing, and just sit back and spend the state's money. From a more holistic view, you can see the power of bringing everyone together. So here's a guy who's gone from a non-believer to recognizing the true power of enterprise thinking. And we can drive down the overall cost of computing by doing this. So we're using solution platforms instead of focusing on solution platforms instead of just developing new apps. Our developers want to develop, right? But as it comes down to it, if we can get to many common several common platforms that help us do things quicker through configuration, et cetera, we want to do that. Reuse, knowing what we own, stop piling on the technical debt. If we're going to go 45 and 4, we don't want those, to be honest, to go, well, they just build up a whole bunch of other stuff that we can't support. But while our agencies have different business missions, many of the functions are the same. Case management, licensing. We have so many bodies that are licensing entities, most of them using separate systems. Grants management, so many grants that are led by the state. Financial work, all of that work. So our platform first perspective is helping to bring this all together. So how do we talk about bringing this all together? That's not good. There we go. I went too fast. So I mentioned the tremendous value about having all this together, but you know, recently we worked with the Department of Revenue and the Department of Employment Security. Oh, that's okay. I want to go back there. I moved too soon, but thank you. The Department of Employment Security was looking at bringing up a new system for their unemployment tax. Department of Employment Security collects tons of money through unemployment taxes. And revenue, obviously, we have other taxing bodies. So they were moving off to develop their own system. So we brought them together in a joint manner, and now they have an enterprise system they're working with together to give one view to the customer, one place to go for tax matters, and we saved several million dollars just in rationalizing that. So what that took, though, it was a leadership to take a step back and say, no, maybe I'm not so different. We can work together. We brought together the ability to share data, save millions in costs, and really start providing a single view for our customer. Mm-hmm. Now, all of us would rather we had a single view to something better than taxes, right? But we all have to do it. So we want to have better services to our citizens. So how are we moving from grade school to medical practice? Folks have asked, how are you leading the nation around areas like smart state and blockchain? And it's really pretty simple. We're applying these transformation principles, continuing to lean forward, finding leaders across our organization who are willing to step up and take a chance. And we're keeping our mission in the front of our minds, which is empower the state of Illinois through high-value, customer-centric technologies, best-in-class innovation, fostering collaboration, and empowering employees and agencies to provide better service to our residents, businesses, and visitors. You know, to do this, though, when we're bringing 1,400 IT professionals from all these different agencies, we've got a real transformation issue with workforce. So does anybody know the unemployment rate for cybersecurity professionals? Somebody said zero. It's zero. The unemployment rate for cybersecurity professionals is zero. How many of you guys have kids in college who maybe haven't decided what they're going to do yet? I'm telling you. Go into cybersecurity. But our transformation is meaning we have to find ways to prepare our employees for our 21st century jobs. So COBOL and all that, okay, we've still got all that old stuff, right? But we have to move forward. So we're trying to find ways to bring the collective power and knowledge together. So we're providing opportunities for all of our employees to demonstrate leadership, grow their careers through training opportunities. We need to understand the needs of the transformed state of Illinois. So blockchain, right? Many of you have heard about blockchain. There's a question we're going to have about blockchain. What does that mean to us? How does that change our workforce? We need to enable cross-agency support and build a culture that rewards excellence. Now, we have some challenges. Illinois is a highly unionized environment. So there are a lot of rules that we have to operate in within that, which gives us some challenges. It's not insurmountable, though. We've been working directly with our bargaining units to talk about how we provide opportunities to our employees and help bring them forward in a partnership with our labor units. So let's talk just for a few minutes about ecosystem. And I think for policymakers like yourself, ecosystem is so very important. But what do we mean by this? So we have to have an environment that encourages and invites innovation, provides favorable policy and regulatory environment, leverages the state to help innovation and other transformation activities flourish. So I'll give you some examples. Leveraging the state. Our overall Smart State initiative is bringing the state together to look at common issues. We had our first Smart State Summit, brought all sorts of folks together to talk about what does it mean? What does the Internet of Things mean? What do sensors mean? What does it mean to how you provide services or provide information? One of the first things that we're doing, and we're very excited about this again, is using the power of the state, if you will, for buying collective buying power and collective organization. We put out an RFP for smart street lighting. Cities like Chicago or others, not that you don't have your own budget crises and challenges, but are more in a position to be able to put out bids to get certain technologies because they have power of big purchasing. But the Rockfords and the Chathams and the Springfields and the Litchfields and the cities that we've not heard of don't really have that capability. So what we tried to do was, what was a good opportunity to start our forward in our Smart State initiative that could help the collective state, and we chose smart street lighting. I don't know if any of you have seen an example of smart street lighting, of all the potential sensors that can be on a smart street light that provide value. I know from my law enforcement days, some time ago, Chicago Police Department were working on gunshot sound indicators. They were, sort of a pioneer in that area. But even the stuff about serving our citizens, even everything from measuring how high the water is in a flood zone on a street lamp, through having emergency calls, temperature monitoring, traffic monitoring, all of these things. I saw one diagram for a smart street that literally had 20 sensors doing 20 different things that brought value back to our citizens and our decision makers. So I think we're close on that. We're probably within weeks of having that award made. So we're providing our cities the ability to say, I want in, and we're going to use the purchasing power of the state. So we're doing exploration of potential disruptive technologies such as blockchain and artificial intelligence. We're doing proactive communication with the legislature. So I'll give you an example. I won't name the state, but their initials are New York. And they rushed to regulate blockchain. So that drove innovators out of that state. We don't want to have that perspective. We have to develop an ecosystem, a climate that's ripe for innovation, invites innovation. So one thing we've developed is our Illinois Blockchain Initiative, and the legislature put together the Illinois Blockchain Task Force. So the picture here are many members of the General Assembly that are on this task force, members of our staff, other leadership, where we're working together to develop a report that will be published at the end of the year, that what are the government opportunities in using blockchain. So we have partnerships across the state and the nation to bring the brightest and best ideas and individuals to help build our digital economy. Again, I mentioned our innovators, corporate innovators group. So we're reaching out. Our perspective is not digital transformation of just state government. Yes, that's my charge. That's my predominant charge. But collectively, we really need to work at where we're going from here. So 2 years ago, Illinois was rated in the bottom fourth by the Center for Digital Government in terms of digital government capabilities and service, the bottom fourth. We didn't like that a bit. So in 2 years, we've gone to the top third. That's a great jump. We've got a lot more work to do. So in 2018, this is my target, and our collective target is to be in the top five. So on this Thanksgiving week, I really want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. We're asking for your continued support. We have lots of our partners in the room here today. We want to develop more partners. We've talked about about transportation technologies. How can we get together on transportation technologies? I've had several of you already come up to me and talk about potential opportunities. And we talked about how other companies are doing innovation and transformation. And we're going to have some more chat about that. So my thanks to you. I think collectively we can really make the Midwest and Chicago and Illinois the new Silicon Valley. And with your continued support, I think we can make Illinois the number one digital state in the nation. That's all I have, so thank you.
Normally, I magically have some water for you there, but it's
this is
there.
Pretty magical. I like it.
So, first and foremost, you're from Springfield, right?
I am from Springfield.
So I'm a Springfield native. Most of you guys know that. Did he say he's a Cubs fan? Now, being from Springfield, he knows that the majority of us are St. Louis Cardinals fans. So I'm trying to figure that out. Are you a Springfield native?
I'm not a Springfield native.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in Central.
He gets a pass. The regional new administrator for Human Health and Services, Doug O'Brien, are you here? My apologies. I missed you earlier. Sorry. Sorry, sir. We do have a ton of questions, and I'm going to speed through them. The first one I think you already prefaced. Well, I'm just going to go through the list. Dina Al-Khatib? I got it right? Chicago Workforce Partnership works for my good friend, Karen. How is the state considering integrating federal workforce and adult education data, given that programs are administered by multiple state agencies, even with their own data systems?
That's a great question. That's usually how someone starts out when they're like, I don't know how to answer this question. So workforce development is huge for us. So we're continuing to look for partnerships in that arena. I'll address a couple of things on how we're trying to at least understand the workforce that we need to develop. There are frameworks out there, for example, in cybersecurity. NIST has developed some specific workforce frameworks that we're trying to do to identify those specific competencies that we have to have. Let me reread this. State considering integrating federal workforce and adult education. I don't know, but I'd like to talk with you about it. I was a little light. I'll be honest with you. I was a little light on the workforce presentation today because it's hard. Training dollars are sparse. Recruitment to state government is hard. Again, in a highly unionized environment, there are specific rules that we need to follow. So if you'll let me take a rain check on this one, I'd love to talk with you and work more with you. So thank you.
That's what City Club is all about. When you don't know the answer, come back again.
Can I say that for the rest of these two?
No, you cannot. Sorry. Michael Weiser, here. Hi, Mike. Asks about commuter cars. From the Commuter Cars Corporation, what are the chances Chicagoland will see legal self-driving cars on its roads and highway in the near future?
Well, I'll give you my personal opinion, and then tell you sort of what's happening back in the development of ecosystem. I think it's coming. Everybody's pushing it. The economies of scale, the efficiencies we can get. The Department of Transportation is actually leading a working group task force to look into what autonomous vehicles mean to the state. We're trying to get ahead of it, again, on the regulatory side, so that we don't have a bunch of regulations that come out that really stifle that. That task force is really in the early stages. There's been no talk that I'm aware of in Illinois of any specific pilots, et cetera. But I think that would be something to continue to follow is where we're going with that. Because ultimately, as with blockchain, we want to make sure that we're helping to drive the policies to make the right decisions. And autonomous vehicles, and you're in the business, right? So let me ask you, what do you think the chances are?
Politics makes it very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, you have different different self-interests among the different groups of people.
Yeah.
And they use it as an advantage to say no.
Right.
So,
right.
We're looking for people to encourage it.
Yeah.
In some way, to look for a future where it can happen.
Well, I think that's also an example of how digital transformation changes the way that we have to promote jobs and how we have to help our people learn. So there's a whole industry, tons of industries are going to say, don't have self-driving cars because transportation, taxi, truck drivers, mm-hmm. all of those things are potentially impacted. So it's a huge issue. We have the same thing with other technologies that we're bringing in. But I do think that having the appropriate ecosystem, the appropriate environment is the right thing to do. And again, we're early in that task force, but we'd be happy to come back and report on that as that advances.
You guys see me keep moving it around. It's because the video guys tell me don't lurk behind him like a certain presidential debate. You know, I'm trying to make sure I don't do that. But I also, I'm 5'8". I don't want to make it look like I'm bumping into that either. Jay says I only have time for one more question. So for those of you who ask questions, I'm going to let you handle those later.
Okay.
Which means you're kind of forced to come back. So, okay. Gina Rodriguez, Rodriguez, are you here, Gina?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Gina. Morningstar Investment Management, LLC. What are your thoughts about adopting distributed ledger technology, blockchain, for record keeping or smart contracts?
I am so glad that that was a question because I thought that might be coming. Oh, I didn't show you the really cool like digital state closing slide, so I missed that one. So our blockchain initiative, blockchain task force, looking at opportunities. We are working towards several pilots in blockchain, birth registration, digital identity. And we think blockchain has the capability of changing the world in terms of identity. I mean, you can imagine with all these breaches that we're having that you personally can own your own identity and decide who you're going to share that with. Academic credentialing, energy credit marketplace, land record registration, health provider network. We are attempting to move forward not necessarily proofs of concepts, but efforts to start to see how we prove some of this out. These are some recommendations. So you're seeing some early release, so don't tell anybody. Early release of some of the things you're likely to see in the report that will come out of the General Assembly about opportunities. Illinois has been recognized as a government that's leading the charge on blockchain, and we're going to continue to do that. So the quick answer to your question is, what are my thoughts? We like it. We're going to push it, and we think it's the future.